thanks again for Linode for sponsoring this episode of the news. They've actually upped our affiliate link. So instead of getting 1 month of credit, you now get $60 of credit, which you can make last up to 3 months, I think. It's $60 or 60 days, so 2 months, I guess, of credit. So if you use our affiliate link, you can get a little bit more credit and experiment with things. They really want you to mess with that Kubernetes cluster and some of the other services like their Amazon S3 substitute, which is quite competent. You should definitely give that a spin. They've also been writing a lot of how-tos. So like setting up the WireGuard thing, which I think we can improve on. And we will soon improve on because WireGuard. They've got a lot more services today than they did previously. You should really check it out. And in fact, if you're going to do a commercial migration to like Kubernetes from Google Compute Cloud or even some of the Azure Compute services and you're using Kubernetes, come to the Level 1 forum. I'll actually help you do that. So thank you, Linode, and on with the news.
Today's August 21st, Under the Sea, SpongeBob SquarePants. We're doing social media, or no.
No.
Robots and nonsense, you see. SpongeBob SquarePants. Okay.
Oh, I accidentally pushed the button. Everything about that was bad.
So what? You didn't like that?
Well, you kind of fumbled it by saying
I did fumble it.
Yeah, I mean, I respect what you were going for there, but, you know, execution, I gotta give you like a 3.
What button? Did you stream that by accident?
I switched to the first story by accident.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
So, yeah, let's talk about some robots. And the first robot is pretty interesting because we have this problem. I don't know if you've noticed.
We're literally living a winter of our discontent.
And we need the drugs. We need the drugs to save us. We don't have the drugs. Russia says they have the drug. Do they? No one trusts them.
Somebody has a hilarious Putin Photoshop that's like, there were some side effects. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Never mind.
So one of the problems we have is that a couple of the drugs that we have that seem to maybe be effective are patented. So we need a way to get the effects of those drugs without having to go through this one company that has the drug. So how do you do that? It's robots to the rescue.
AI invents new recipes for potential drugs to cure the thing. And also folding at home. It's not mentioned in the article, I don't think, but folding at home is also doing all of their folding to find a patent-free drug to solve the thing.
You know what's kind of crazy about this? It's, you know, the boring dystopia. It's like, we could just, you know, maybe not do patents on life-saving drugs, but
no,
they already had it.
There's a book on disaster capitalism, and it's like, oh, I have to read that.
I can't remember which one it is, but it wasn't made for this. They already had it, so they're the only ones who are allowed to produce it in that format. But supposedly, this robot already found an alternative made of cheaper materials that everybody could produce.
Can you fix it up at home in your home blender? It's like a little parsley, some thyme, and then just throw in a little bit of bleach. Just a tiny little bit of bleach.
Just a little bit of bat DNA. Just a touch. I like to imagine that this is not a hopper, but instead it's a vacuum, and it's just a robot. It's like, I love pills. So, yeah, maybe we'll do that. I don't know. I feel like there would be a legal battle.
Yes. There would probably be a legal battle for decades to come.
Now, we've been talking about the Starlink satellites, and of course, Amazon's got their version going up. I can't remember what they're calling theirs, but that's a lot of satellites, and eventually, they won't be useful anymore, and it turns out the ones that we put up in the past are even worse, because they're bigger, and they're bulkier, and they're dead, a lot of them. So, what do you do? How do you clean up the satellites? Some people say we send up other satellites to hug them and drag them down into their death. This company has a novel solution.
Experimental drag racer satellites will test Terminator tape for space junk cleanup this fall. So they launched two Pico satellites, I guess, two very tiny satellites. One that's just going to attempt to deorbit itself, it doesn't really attempt to deorbit itself. It's just how long does it take for it to decay out of orbit? And the other one is going to release its Terminator tape, which is going to decelerate it faster, and it's going to fall.
It said it was what, like
I didn't really get a good idea for what exactly, like how exactly this is going to work.
Well, it creates drag somehow.
In space?
When it drops its tape down, I guess the gravity affects the tape more because it's closer to the Earth.
That sounds crazy.
And in a way, like, yanks it down. So it's going to be, what was it, like 3 to 6 months versus 45 days?
Mm.
That's the theory. 230 feet of Terminator tape. So it's like a big roll of fruit roll-up gum inside the solid.
Delicious.
And when it extends it, the Earth will gobble it.
Unrelated. There's a related story in the sidebar. It's that clickbait. It says space salsa adds spicy kick to astronaut freeze-dried food. I feel like that would not be very good.
Oh, yeah. So they hired some psychologists. I read a story about this. NASA hired some psychologists, and they're like, hey, how do we get the people on the space station to not, you know, want to die? And they're like, well, one big step is they need to prepare their food and eat fresh food. So they baked the first cookies in space recently.
Oh, yeah. Aww.
Be tough. You know, you're eating Mexican food on the space station, and you got old Montezuma's revenge. And it's like, oh, I got to go. And then you rush to the bathroom, and it's like, it's the hose.
Revenge.
Oh, no. How about, that's bad, but how about you're the next person to use the hose? That's really bad.
There's just a crust around it. Because remember, it's going to be a vacuum. It's just like little bits of hair.
And little droplets floating around. It's like you're on the hose and the droplets are coming in and you're like, oh.
Crying.
You actually pick up some inertia because of the explosive decompression.
You know, like an hour after all of that happens, NASA calls up and they're like, hey, everybody in a good mood now?
No, I thought you were going to say, we're getting a red light on the number 2 waste extractor. What happened?
Hey, guys, good news. Tomorrow's curry.
The red light's blinking. I had no idea it could do that. What failure mode is worse than just on? It's blinking.
So, yeah. I will see. I guess you might actually, if you go 6 months without salsa, you might take the risk. That food does but not.
Just a little good. Bit of endorphins?
Yeah. Just to feel anything. So we have a lot of stories about drones. They are super useful, especially for things that require you to go out into the woods and survey things. You know, you got to look at the wildlife and the land and see what's going on. The problem is, when you do that, the wildlife, they're out there.
Wait.
And other... What?
I said right.
Oh, I thought you said wait.
Agree. Oh, no.
And sometimes your drones can get into trouble.
Bald eagle attack has taken down a $950 state drone and dropped it into Lake Michigan. They tried to find it. They couldn't find it. They got a picture of a bald eagle. It's probably not the bald eagle. They said, well, it might have been territorial or it might have been hungry. But, yeah, the guy got some footage of the eagle attacking. But it wasn't really super clear from the footage. There were some eyewitnesses, though, that said the eagle took out a propeller.
I think he had a first-person view.
Yeah.
So he didn't actually see the eagle, as I'm sure most birds that fall victim to eagles don't. Maybe just see a shadow.
But he tried to find it. They couldn't find it. So it's just gone forever.
Yeah, taxpayer money.
It's probably fine.
All right. He was studying soil erosion on the lake. Maybe the eagle hates the environment. He's secretly been trying to erode the lake for years.
Do you think that the bald eagle was like, man, this little bird is just fighting away at me?
Yeah, he probably...
It's so loud.
Yeah.
When he got one talon into the propeller, he probably, you know, it hit him and like bottomed out. And he was like, how dare you? And he's talking to all his bros. He's like, hey, listen, those really high-pitched little blackbirds, don't mess with them. It's not worth
they're
it.
They're mean. Man.
There's no meat on them at them. All. They're so gamey.
They're really acidic. We've done a lot of stories about 3D printed houses, and they're always cool. But here's the thing about it. And I, you know, some things are happening in the world that maybe I can understand it, but every time we do a story about 3D printed houses, it's like, oh my God, it's going to revolutionize everything. You're going to be seeing these on every city block. I don't, where are they?
No, yeah.
Because they're probably expensive as hell to build.
I shouldn't be, though.
No, that's always what they're talking about. They're like, hey, we found some change in the couch and built this, you know, robot, and now we got five houses.
I mean, it seems like that with the things going on here in the U.S. and the evictions and stuff, it's like we'd roll out a couple dozen of these and just start printing houses. It's like, oh, you're homeless? Would you like a free house?
What does that tell you, though, that if these are not, you know, as cost-effective as, like, the houses we're building currently? It's like, how bad are the houses we're building currently? Are they just, like, cardboard?
Yes, they are literally cardboard. Yeah.
Well, this one, unfortunately, continues that trend because no one is going to live in this. This is just a demo.
Europe's largest 3D printer just made its first two-story house. A massive cement printer created this home. You might be thinking, how quick did it do that? It took months. And that was only because students were printing it. But really, it only took about 15 hours to print or something like that, or 15 days.
They had to bring a crane out to set up all this scaffolding.
But it was done by students. So students did this as research. But this is an extruder printer, and they say that they could do it with as little as one person supervising.
That's the BOD 2, building on demand. They don't have any internal pictures.
They printed... There's a place in Mexico that, like, they dealt with some home... I think it was Mexico Engagement Challenge. You can correct me. It's probably not right. But there was somewhere that they had homeless and people that were, like, near homeless. They were, like, living in slums and stuff. And they just 3D printed, like, an entire neighborhood. It was all one-story houses and stuff.
I remember that.
But I thought that, like, that seems like that would solve a lot of problems here.
Yeah. They're kind of... I think they were open to the elements in some ways. But again, homeless people.
And it's like, this is yours. Take care of it. And if you don't take care of it, then, you know, that's your problem.
And the cool thing about those, I remember they just, like, they had the plumbing and the electric and stuff, and they just printed over it.
Yeah.
That would suck if you ever had to fix it, but hey.
If you ever had to fix it, you're going to put conduit on the outside of your walls. That's not, you know, it's kind of like what people that have older homes do. It's like, oh, I need to run an Ethernet cable. It's like, guess what? It's going to be taped to the wall.
So, yeah, I'm waiting for the big 3D printed houses revolution, but I don't see it. You know what? It might be like De Beers. Like, what if the builders are just
big conspiring? Builders holding it back?
Yeah. So, actually, I somehow completely missed this article.
I did too. I didn't see it at all.
Oh, that's weird.
How did we do that?
It's a conspiracy. Well, I think the...
I read this elsewhere. I didn't see the AP article.
The headline kind of speaks for itself.
Michigan plans dedicated road lanes for autonomous vehicles. So, it's Lansing, Michigan. The article that I read elsewhere said something about they're pulling up a lot of railroad tracks, and they feel like that they can have autonomous vehicles basically follow the railroad tracks, and it'll work like a bus or a mass transit system, but it's really just automated. So, it could be on like a closed loop, and it would be completely fine.
You know how... I'm sorry, Krista, go ahead.
I was going to say, the only giant problem with this plan is if you've ever driven in Michigan, you know that they do nothing to maintain any of the roads. So it's just going to be full of potholes within like a year.
And it's kind of an insult. It's like, we're not going to fix the roads, but what we are going to do is build some new roads elsewhere that you can't drive on.
Well, you know how in California they've got the HOV lanes, and people will like put blow-up dolls and stuff in the other seat to not get the ticket for driving on their own? In this case, people are going to be driving, they see a cop, and they're just going to, like, dodge down. And they're going to get wrecks because people aren't looking, because they're trying to avoid the, you know, they're cheating, and they're in the autonomous. It's all the robot we got. It was not a heavy robot week. I had to look pretty hard to find that. But we've got some nonsense. And our first nonsense story, I love to put in stories about, like, yes, we can, but should we? These just seems like a bad idea, but it is really cool.
The first gene-edited squid in history is a biological breakthrough. So it turns out squids are kind of hard to gene edit because in the embryo status, they're in kind of a hard sack. But they figured that out, and they managed to use CRISPR to edit away the pigment because that would be really easy to see early in development. So the guy on the right, he's going to have eye problems, obviously, because no pigment. But there's no pigment in the rest of the embryo. So, it was successful. It works. Now, most of the rest of the world, Canada and Europe, have prohibitions on experimenting on creatures as intelligent as the octopus, but here in the good old US of A, not so.
Now, they did have to, they were like, you know what, we use these are kind of really big squids. And they're like, we keep them in this little tank, and they grow up so fast, and they get too big before we, you know, kill them. We're going to have to use a different kind of squid that we can more easily store.
A little bit of a darkness there. But they're hoping that the similar brain structure in these cephalopods will be useful for studying Alzheimer's and stuff like that in humans. So
we recognize that they're close enough to us to maybe solve our problems with brains, and yet it's still okay to make their life a living hell from the moment that they are.
The Canadians and Europeans seem to be more enlightened on that point.
You know what? I'm with it. Whatever. Do whatever you want to the squids. What have the squids ever done for us?
But now a giant invisible squid will attack us.
That would be terrifying.
Yeah, it's like, this is Birth of Cthulhu? Is this a Cthulhu's origin story?
This one, this is. I thought about actually cutting this, and I forgot to, but the headline seems good. When you read it, it's really just speculation and nonsense, but whatever.
Yeah, this is like the way the universe ends, not with a whimper, but a bang. So this is like, hey, what happens after the heat death of the universe? So after the heat death of the universe, protons could decay eventually after just an unfathomably large number of years. And that could result in little explosions, but they're so far apart, no one would ever know.
That would be 1,000 Google years from now, which is
a lot.
A number that the human mind cannot comprehend.
I can barely comprehend the distance from the Earth to the Sun, let alone, you know, universal distances.
But, hey, maybe if Jeff Bezos can get his immortality going, he'll be there to see it. Riding on a Starlink. Sports ball is back. Now, are they still doing the baseballs?
Yeah. Baseball. My favorite thing about the baseballs is, you know how you can pay money to have your cardboard cut out in the stands?
Yeah.
Somebody had a cardboard cut out of Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's mate and put it in the stands.
I saw one that was Bin Laden.
Damn you, Bloomberg. They actually had a picture of the cutouts. We don't have it. So, yeah, they are doing that, and it's amazing. So, okay, that's funny, right? That's really funny. Somebody paid $200 for that joke.
Do it, yeah.
That sounds amazing. And I bet if I were a fan of baseball, I would do it.
Really? Throw $200
away? If it was going to be on national TV, and it's like, wait, is that Bernie? I print it, frame it, stick it on the wall. It's like, what did you do? It's like, oh, that was that time I gave $200 to have a cardboard cutout of Bernie, you know, behind so-and-so.
I've been hearing about all those services where you can pay. They'll paint pictures that you send in. But it's like, hey, if Grandpa's dead, send us another picture of him. We'll paint him into it. It'd be fun to have Bernie painted into those. Put him into, like, the Declaration of Independence.
The Last Supper.
Anyway, baseball, they've got that thing going on, but I think they know that people are only going to spend $200 for that nonsense for a certain amount of time. Is that per week, or does it go from week to week?
I don't know.
So they're thinking
week to week.
Also, the cardboard cutouts do not eat very many hot dogs.
No.
Really, it's not selling a lot of beers this season. So they're thinking, how do we get people back in? What do we have to do? And they've got some crazy ideas.
MLB teams explore using cameras to detect maskless fans at games. California startup is in talks with some teams to help monitor face mask use in stadiums. It's like, hey, you do not take the mask off at any time or you will be ejected from the game.
Now, people immediately put two and two together and they're like, hey, wait a minute. Does that mean you're going to be running facial recognition on us the entire time we're at your baseball game?
They're like, psych, we already are. Have been for years. Didn't you know?
They actually have that. Remember the one where they can tell when you're looking at the advertisements?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoy that baseball.
All of us just got like a little sad when we remembered that.
The 747 debacle, I have not been putting that in the news stories. It is technology, but it's, I don't know. I feel like it's just...
These are retired ones, too.
Well, this is the fallout. So in Europe at least, they were like, listen, get these planes out of here. They're too dangerous. We're not flying people on them. They're old and they're dangerous. We can't have them anymore. So like, okay, we'll retire them. And now that they're retired, they were very tight-lipped about ever letting people see the inside of these things in the technical standpoint because, you know.
They knew it was on fire dangerous.
Well, not just that, but, you know, like people were trying to destroy them. So we finally can look at some of the interesting things that they have inside them. And I guess if you're a frequent flyer, this should give you some pause.
Boeing 747s received critical software updates over 3.5 floppy disks. Industry-bending old aircraft is an opportunity for aviation information security. So this talks about how these aircraft were going to be decommissioned for parts, because normally these planes, like, they just don't let anybody on here. But since these were going to be decommissioned for parts, they were like, we don't care. So these are fully operational aircraft that information security people could go and tinker with. And turns out, wow.
So that's every 28 days. How closely do you think they monitored the number of writes each disc had gone through?
They didn't at all. How old? What do you think the average age of manufacture was? Is there anybody still making floppy
disks?
There's
probably one company that still makes floppy disks just for this purpose.
Has 3 employees, and they're just like, oh, Wilbur, this is going to be the year they stop buying floppy disks. I'm 6 years away from retirement. What are we going to do?
So, yeah. They did confirm also that there is a physical partition between the infotainment system and the flight system.
Well, that's good.
So your dreams of hacking the flight system from your seat? No. Can't do it. Here's a terrible story that it shows, as wonderful as live streaming is, and I do get a lot of entertainment from it, but given when it put in the hands of the emotionally disturbed.
Yeah.
Although, having said that, I would have watched this. No question about it. I would have watched every frame of this.
Boston man live streams a 20-mile police chase through Massachusetts and New Hampshire with his 5 children in the car. So, the mom bailed out, and the police were called because they thought the mom, like, he'd kicked the mom out or something. No, she bailed out because he was losing his mind. Literal has some problems. Has some problems. Hope he gets help. His kids were not hurt, at least.
The kids were as young as 1.
Yeah.
How about mom of the year there? It's like, you're on your own, kids.
assuming she is the mom of all those children.
They should give this guy another charge for just having 5 children. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Come on.
But live streamed it. And I bet he's happy about that, which is very bad.
Well, they said that...
He was happy in that mugshot.
While he was live streaming, he had a lot of... like interesting conspiracy theories. I think he was a flat earther and, you know, deep state type stuff. So that's 5 future dependents of the state.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe they'll rise above it. Let's root for them. Now over in China, they're having a little bit of a food shortage, which is problematic because I think we get some food from them.
Yeah.
The U.S. actually exports more food than it imports. So in theory, we're okay for now, but supply chain issues.
There have been some tornadoes.
Isn't the massive bulk of that, though, just corn to feed other countries' animals?
I don't know. A lot of it's soy, corn.
Yeah, for feed. I mean, yeah. I eat corn.
Wheat. We have a lot of wheat, too.
But if China runs out of food and there's social unrest and... how do you get that under control? Well, a nice little war might help. That could affect us. Anyway, they have a national movement to stop wasting food. And it's crazy how much food gets wasted.
Yeah,
like just the food that I waste. Sometimes I'm like, oh, man.
Judging by the number of cats at KFC, it's a staggering amount of food.
Those are some well-fed cats, too. It's not like they're walking around with their ribs showing. They're kind of, they're fatties. But anyway, so the, you know, Jinping came out and said, we got to stop wasting food, do something about it. Some people took it a little too seriously, maybe.
Chinese restaurant apologizes for weighing customers. So this was actually in China. So you would step up and be weighed, and it would say, here's a dish that you should eat. It doesn't necessarily say, like, how they were doing it, but the restaurant made it sound like they would say, oh, you probably have a hearty appetite because you're heavier. But I think the reality was, you don't need to eat.
Now, they also said the rule the rule of thumb should be that the number of entrees you get should be number of diners minus one. But what if you're dining alone? When I think number of diners minus one, I immediately go to the breadstick theory.
No, that kind of eating, it's like number of diners minus one. If there's like eight people in your group, okay. But like number of diners minus one, if there's two people in your group, there's going to be some fighting.
I don't know. Also, let's say there's two people in your group and one person is allergic.
Well, you're never going to.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Tough times in China. F's in the chat for the Chinese who have to have a terrible menu selections because of this. We talk a lot about the problems with government kind of stealing. And I say kind of, but I mean, yeah, just stealing.
They do. They just do it.
But when you talk about asset forfeiture, and that's what I am talking about, you like to think that the money is going to something worthwhile, right? I mean, hey, maybe they're underfunded and they're using it to pay off those horrible pensions that they agreed to, or, you know, pay the overtime so they can clean up the streets. Maybe, but maybe not.
Florida Sheriff funds $35,000 a month luxury office with, quote, the money we take from the bad guys. So that's one of the things that money is permitted to be used for. So he's like, why don't I get a really nice office? They're not on the placard.
But actually, so money that they get from seizing assets and auctioning them, they can't use for that. Some wonderful person said, we got to guard against this because I know what they're going to do. Let's make a rule against that. But the federal matching funds are not subject to that. Mm. So they make about $450,000 a year, or they have in the past 2 years, from that federal matching fund. And he found an office that cost about that amount. The other people in the office building were like mega rich law firms. And they interviewed him and they were like, yeah, it's a little weird. A little weird to see him here.
You think maybe now there's an impetus into it's like they have to raise so much in forfeiture, otherwise they're going to lose their office. Oh man.
Oh, you mean kind of like the traffic citation situation? Like if people actually start driving the speed limit, we go broke. Yeah, it's a problem.
Isn't there also a sort of a motivation to let the money enter the system? It's like, oh, we've got an opportunity to seize the drugs before there's money. No, let's wait until after the drugs are sold and collect that money.
There's a famous guy who was, he trained drug dogs, and he was like the greatest trainer of drug dogs in the history of drug dog trainers. And he quit after, like, he felt really good about himself. And they came down and they were like, well, your talents are being wasted here. Can you train them to search for money? And he was like, well, I guess I could. And then he never touched another drug in his life. And he was like, oh.
A real heartwarming story for your Friday.
This is a crazy story. I don't know what DNR stands for, though.
Oh, it has it
in
the first.
Do not resuscitate.
No, it's the National Department of Natural Resources.
Natural Resources. So a government agency. Now, the mask situation, the mask versus anti-mask, continues to rage on. I don't think we're ever going to settle this.
It makes me sad.
It makes everybody sad. So the question becomes, is it better to set an example, or is it worse to prove that sometimes this isn't about helping, it's just about making people do things? I'm kind of in the latter camp on this one.
DNR tells employees to wear masks during Zoom calls, even when they are alone at home. I agree, this makes no sense. They should wear a mask at all times when they're outside and around other people, but at home? Come on.
You're not around other people. Like.
And you can clearly see in the background of their cameras, they're alone at home. So, yeah.
Come on.
It's ridiculous.
It doesn't make any sense.
It is sort of insane.
I like how that website was just a placeholder.
I guess if you're like telling them, you know, you need to be an example for the people, but like, this doesn't make any, like, just no.
Well, that is what they're saying. They're like, But it's so insulting to the people. It's like, no, the people are so stupid that they can't tell that you're in your own home. Rather than being like, okay, the people, let's explain to them.
But then you see the way several people are acting, and it's like, well,
well.
People do like to fight about the masks. Oh, Rue. She's got strong feelings. Do you have a mask for her?
No, no. She's actually looking out the window right now, and she's upset. I think she can see a neighbor's dog.
I see a lot of people posting pictures of their cats with little masks on them. I cannot imagine trying to get a mask on one of my cats.
No.
They would just be like, what are you doing?
They would not have that. No, those little back legs would come up there, and they'd rip that right off. We have an exciting new device.
Bruce just yawning away.
So let's say that you're having a tough time in the current situation. You know, you wake up every morning and you just can't shake the bad feelings that from what's going on. A nice inspirational quote. That would be good, right? That just gets you going.
Joel Osteen Inspirational Cube electronic device hits the market. I was delighted to see that he does not earn a royalty from each one of these, that it goes to a charitable cause, but good Lord.
Yeah, but could the charitable cause not be that church?
Yeah. So yeah, it's a thing that gives you some encouragement and some quotes and stuff. I like Simone Yetch's coin-operated proud parent a lot more than this.
Start each day with just a touch. They had some examples in here, and challenge yourself today to be the best of you tomorrow. So a lot of people seem to be criticizing Mr. Osteen because his sermons and this and a lot of the stuff that he puts out there, it's kind of a motivational speaker type of thing. Not a lot of Jesus.
Yeah. As it turns out, he's not really religious at all. He's just saying, you know, if you try really hard, go get money. And it turns out that's not true in the U.S. anymore.
And they actually interviewed him here and they asked him about that. And he said that he believes that Jesus would be totally in step with his whole, like, go get rich attitude.
You know, the only time I remember Jesus whipping anyone was when people were selling things in the temple.
I don't know, Krista. I think he would know better than you. He does have a mega church.
It's true.
But does he have a YouTube channel? Yes, he does.
Probably does.
Yeah, he probably does, yeah. He has an inspiration cube. We don't have that. Oh my gosh, we should have a level one inspiration cube. Except it would be really depressing, I think. It would just be like really sad.
We'll just put a speaker in one of those Intel cube CPU cases.
Yeah. That could be the e-waste for some of the people. So you squeeze it.
The level one text depression cube. The anxiety cube.
It's just stuff like, I don't know if you should do that.
We're in orbit of a black hole at the center of our galaxy.
Live every day like a black hole is flying toward you.
Now we got an animal block. A couple of fun animal stories. The first one has to do with naming your shelter cats. My cats, when I adopted them, were named Mario and Luigi. I didn't want to go for
that.
Keep them. Nah, I didn't like that. Now, Rue, you took the shelter name, right?
I did, because she already answered to it. I didn't want to change it and confuse her.
My cats don't answer to anything. But one shelter had a brilliant idea, and they probably didn't expect this result, but it's very heartwarming.
I couldn't resist. Actor Dennis Quaid is adopting a Lynchburg shelter cat named Dennis Quaid.
There's Dennis. Aww. And Dennis.
The shelter thought they were being pranked or trolled or something, so they finally had a video conference with him. And I guess the deep fake was good enough because they were like, oh, all right, we'll marry the cat, I guess.
How dark would that be? Somebody deep fakes it and then gets the cat and just drowns it.
Oh, no.
Now, it turns out that he's got like a podcast network that he's doing, and they happen to have a pet show. So the person coming to pick up the cat is not Dennis Quaid. It's the host of the Pet Podcast.
Yeah.
So they might have had a little bit of marketing mixed into this. But I think the cat will probably have a good life.
Yeah.
It will be, you know what? That cat will be raised like in the lap of luxury. It will want for nothing and it will get a ton of attention. from his Colombian housemate.
I don't think I've ever had a cat that wasn't developmentally challenged in some way.
How's your mom's cat, speaking of weird cats?
It's less afraid of me at this point, but it still has like flashbacks to Nom or something, because I'll just be petting it and it looks around like it heard something, like the Viet Cong or something, and then it just takes off and goes under the bed.
Like, it remembers life in the holler.
Like, it's just like I'm petting it behind its ears and it's just super happy, and then it's like when it looks around and it doesn't see anything and it just takes off.
Sometimes when we're just hanging out in the bed, Toast will all of a sudden stand up and like look out the door and like lean over like he's looking in the corner for minutes. And it's like, is it a ghost?
What did you see?
What's out there?
Are you having flashbacks?
And the other cat doesn't care. He's just hanging out. So I'm like, what is it?
I think its time with possums may have been harder on it than anyone suspects.
Possums are probably, you know, they're your friend 1 minute, but then they'll just turn on you.
Yeah.
Gotta keep your head on a swivel.
It's just like, no, I'm getting too complacent. I have to stay vigilant.
One time he let his guard down. Yeah. Paid for it. UK government, actually, we've done several stories. Remember the library cat? Was that in the U.S.? No, that was in the U.K., right?
There was a library cat in the U.S. and the U.K. There's also the bus cat.
Yeah. They have a lot of cats who will, of course, you know, cats will just show up and they're like, I live here now. And they have a tendency to give them jobs, ceremonial jobs in the UK government. But with what's going on in the world, no one's going to the office, right? So what do you do with the cat? Well, one person takes it home, and it turns out that maybe home life suits them more.
Chief Mouser Palmerston retires as UK's top diplomatic cat.
That's so aggressively British. Chief Mouser Palmerston. What a name.
Looks like he's got a sweet tracking collar going on there.
I think there was I shouldn't know this, I can't remember the name of the brand, but they rebranded and that's their logo. But it's like a little blue splotch, but then they draw the features of the animal on. It's cute.
They mentioned that there was another cat who lived down the street at another government office, and they were kind of frenemies. They liked to fight on the street between the two buildings. Sad that they'll be broken up, but he does seem to be enjoying his new, he's got a Twitter, @DiploMog, if you want to check that out. See what his thoughts are now that he's in the country. Krista, we've talked a lot about bears and your experiences with them. You've not seen one yet, right?
Not here. I've seen one in Tennessee before.
And you have your fun little phrase.
A fed bear is a dead bear.
Well, in Mexico,
don't feed bears.
In Mexico, that's not quite true, although some would argue perhaps a fate worse than death.
Mexican bear caught sniffing woman's hair, castrated.
Oh.
Rue had some thoughts about that.
This video is incredible, and this girl does have nerves of steel. I mean, get her into a fighter plane right now. Because look at this.
Yeah, what you're supposed to do if you encounter any kind of black bear is, like, you make yourself look bigger, you wave your arms around, you yell. Like, you don't want them to get close to you.
So there's nothing in that preparedness manual about taking a selfie?
Nothing, yeah. Nothing about that.
I could have ended very badly.
It did end badly for the bear.
Yeah, but the castration, what? Did they take that as being like a Joe Biden type predatory thing?
I don't understand that.
She probably just used the herbal essences in that morning, right? And he was like, oh, are there berries in there? I don't understand the castration.
Yeah, usually what they'll do, from what I understand, is that they'll take the bear and they'll move it to another location. But bears have such big home ranges that, like, they'll eventually end up back there anyway. And if it keeps happening like this, they'll eventually just kill the bear. I've never heard of castrating it.
That bear's in the new place. And he's like, bro, do not sniff hair. Let me tell you. That's the last thing that you want to do. Now, here is a Facebook group that I wouldn't think existed. Although, you know, based on the other Facebook groups, I guess I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed. but I'm not surprised.
Man pointing gun at penis, a Facebook group, shoots self in penis and becomes hero in group. So there's a Facebook group of, it's to annoy the libs, I think is what their tagline says.
No, it's to annoy.
Wait, what's the?
Because it breaks every rule of gun safety.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, he shot himself in the penis. Although, he went to the hospital and they got him stitched up and he went to work the next day, so he's going to be okay.
Was he ever okay to begin with?
He became a moderator of the group. So now you think about this and all the horror that goes through your head. But you think about the earlier story in the week when it was like Facebook removed all those tens of millions of posts. This was not among them. That so should tell like, you something.
The bar?
Yeah.
You don't. The rule is one of the gun safety rules: never cover anything you're not willing to shoot with the barrel of the gun. Oh my god, that dog.
She's been sleeping this whole time and now she's decided. If I stop petting her, she like starts making noise.
Give us a move out of the way a little bit so we can get a full.
Can you see her?
Yeah.
What is that, Ruru? I'm going to put my hand back over here now. She gets very upset. Hi. Okay.
So, yeah. Moral of the story, don't point the gun at your penis.
Don't point a gun at your penis. As it turns out, that's not a good idea. You heard it here first.
This is one of my favorite stories of the week. Now, unfortunately, I'm going to have to click through several because they did... It drives me out of my mind that you can print this headline and not the picture.
Yeah,
I know. I looked for it.
All right, so
just Google it. Don't even give the hill the traffic.
Yeah, here.
Well, it takes you off to another site. So we'll do the headline first.
Mississippi blames typo for including huge mosquito among new state flag designs. It's glorious. So Mississippi's like, hey, anybody got any ideas for a new flag? Somebody had some ideas, and it's funny. It's real funny.
Well, you got to give them the reason they're getting that new flag.
Well, some people are upset about the Confederacy and such. So
stars and bars where it was in their flag.
Mississippi gets a new flag.
So they're saying like, hey, what represents Mississippi? What would be our... Yeah, and this
is accurate.
I feel like this is a great battle flag, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this strikes terror into me.
Yeah.
What could be more terrifying?
That's not even
imagine
a real mosquito.
That coming up with field of battle.
It's not even a real mosquito. That is one of Bill Gates' genetically modified mosquitoes.
So, Krista, give us a designer perspective of this.
So my only concern with this is that it is a great image of a mosquito, except it's probably going to be hard to reproduce at small sizes.
I'm thinking like if I get a vinyl cutout to put on the back of my truck, those little legs are just ripping right off.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really what you're looking for.
How do you feel about the one leg merging into the star?
I feel like that's sloppy. Yeah. It could be done better.
Yeah, the guy did say that it only took him about 5 minutes to do this.
So they're not actually going to allow that one, but I feel like if they did, it has a chance.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, that's right up there with the Flaggy McFlag face.
Bodie McBoat.
So if they don't use that, do you think that it's one of those deals where if you submit it, they own it?
Yeah, probably.
So he wouldn't be able to market this now?
Probably not. Although he should immediately go to some website other than Teespring and make a lot of t-shirts.
Yeah. And it's all been leading up to this, folks, man. There was no question. Usually I'll talk to like, what do you guys think what the last story should be?
There was no point in asking.
I didn't bother this week. Wendell was getting coffee and I was like, there's no reason to even talk about it because there can only be one story.
Yeah.
That could be the final story.
Somebody also remixed this song to be about the Postal Service, which was really funny.
Now, we're not going to be able to say it. I will say, let's do the headline first.
Krista, you want to do that one?
Doctors are firing back at critics of WAP, saying it's healthy for people to have lubricated genitals.
Now, if you're wondering what WAP is, it's wet, blank, blank word that means, okay, wet.
I'd like to buy a vowel.
Wet, wet, donkey, cat.
That's the title of the episode.
We're going to forget that. Hang on, I'll put it in Discord.
So, these two young ladies right here, this is Cardi B and I can't remember the other girl's name.
Kylie
Jenner. Megan
something. Megan Thee Stallion.
Oh. I
don't know. They made this song, and it's celebrating female genital lubrication. And
things that cause that for $200.
And describing how overwhelming their experiences with that are. It's actually kind of fantastic if you watch the video. Now, I will warn you, the video embedded here on the Insider, it's the edited version.
I don't believe that a prescription is required for a mop and bucket.
It starts out like there's a mansion, and the camera is like steady camming into the mansion, and there's a set of concrete steps, and water comes running over the steps. I mean, the imagery. Now, I will say, I listened to some of the lyrics. One of the first couple of verses in the song, beat it up, catch a charge. I don't think that's the right message for the young ladies.
No. Although the whole like something bad happening with a fluid, I don't feel like any director can do a better job than Stanley Kubrick in
The Shining.
When the elevator doors open and there's blood everywhere.
How would they have adapted that to this?
They wouldn't have needed to.
Well, it couldn't be blood.
Yeah, it could.
I think that's the message. So these gals put out the song. It's pretty obvious what the song is about, and Ben Shapiro decided he didn't like it, and he had a message. Also, what is this?
Oh, that's a flower. That's like a honeysuckle, I think.
Yeah, it's a flower.
But you know what that's supposed to be.
Yeah, we know what that's supposed to represent.
You think YouTube... I mean, all right, whatever. There it is.
That's a honeysuckle, I think. Pretty sure.
It's something. I thought maybe it was like a chicken. Like raw chicken.
No, it's...
So anyway, Ben Shapiro said some stuff about it. Where was his thing? He encouraged them to see a OBGYN. Oh, yeah, here we go.
Is the tweet in there?
Yeah, I mean, it's very sad.
The medical care they require. As it turns out, if your genitals are dry as a woman, something's wrong. So someone needs to clue him in.
So yes, Krista, and several doctors took to Twitter to point out that WAP is in fact a desirable situation to have. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's not something to be shamed if you have. It's actually just healthy sexual reproduction. Do you think that Ben Shapiro's wife has just never been aroused around him?
Probably.
Maybe he just doesn't know the difference.
He probably doesn't know.
Man, that must be miserable for her.
They're both always going around just incredibly chafed. And the video, we won't play any of it, but
which is also on YouTube, I'll point out. It's like, oh, this thumbnail's kind of risque, but that's actually on YouTube, so I guess it's fine.
Everything about this video
is, yeah.
It's crazy that they censor the words in the video.
But not the rest of the video?
When, basically, everything but the areolas are out the entire time.
And we can't say the thing.
And, you know, there's snakes, and they're licking each other. Not the snakes, it's but these bizarre. Two girls. And it's just, it's out of control. I feel like now that music videos don't have to actually be on television anymore, they're just going crazy with them. I haven't watched them in years. But if this is the direction they're going, maybe I should start again. I mean, it's interesting.
And that's all the nonsense we've got.
What a weird story to end on.
Is it, though?
You know, for 2020, this is probably the tamest one we've had. It's not been like, you know, someone's dying, the crops are failing.
But beat it up. Now, I've heard that used in that context before, but it just seems so violent.
It is unnecessary.
Catch a charge? Do you want him to go to jail afterwards? That's not loving. That's not a healthy relationship.
No. That's not even 50 Shades of Grey.
They want it to be positive, but it's not. I mean, let's be honest.
I mean, if she's asking you to catch a charge, I guess that's consensual. But try to explain that to the cops.
Yeah, no. Really? You'd need a consent form.
Ruben, come here.
Permission to beat it up.
Permission granted. The safe word is red alert.
Krista, can you get Rue to say goodbye?
Let me see. Oh, come here, Rue dog. You how say hello?
How much does he weigh in these days?
60 pounds. Oh, no, she's done. She's ready to go. She's just staring at the door like, what are you doing? I'm ready to be out of this room now.
That's our cue, I guess.
Yeah. Bye!